Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day to address your questions by phone with the Basic Gospel, the number 1-800-677-9377. If there's a question or something you'd like to talk about, now is the time. 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call right now. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Did you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday?
I know I did. Yes. I spent it for the first time in Kentucky, and it was cold and wintry, and it was very nice.
And you had a wonderful time with family, and
yep.
I certainly had a wonderful time with my family. All of us were together, and that's always nice. And, you know, we have so much to be grateful for, especially in light of the Basic Gospel and all that Christ has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. I think gratitude is one of those qualities, characteristics you don't see very much of out in the world. You look at the world system, and it's built upon, you know, hard work and earning, and, you know, you get a paycheck, you don't thank the employer for paying you. It's like, well, I earned this. This isn't a gift. This is a reward. I've earned this. This is part of an agreement that we had. And we're very judgmental. We're judgmental of each other. And I think that's just part of the world system. And really, true, genuine gratitude flows from grace. And when we've received grace, then our hearts really have something to say thank you about, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, that's the only motivation for thanks. Everything else you look at that most people say thank you for are either material or economic or some sort of social position or something like that, and they're thankful that that's where they are. When you've got Jesus living inside of you by the Holy Spirit, then you can say thank you regardless of whether you have the social position or the economic position or whatever else. You're just plain thankful because you've got really what matters.
As a matter of fact, the word in Greek for thankfulness is derived from the word grace, charis, which is grace. And so when we receive grace, we can return thanks as a response, and that's what it's all about. And so we as believers have so much to be thankful for, and that should be a quality that you notice in your life more and more as you grow in the grace of God. You're going to find yourself becoming more thankful each and every day. You're not working at it. You're not saying, you know, I need to be more thankful, and you set that out as a goal and say, you know, I'm going to work to be thankful. No, it's just a byproduct. It's a result of God's grace working in you. As you grow in that grace, you're going to see thankfulness and gratitude coming out of you. It's just the byproduct. And so keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on the grace of God, and he will do the work in you. And part of that work is making your heart a thankful heart. And certainly, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see genuine thanks flowing out of you.
Absolutely. And the family that I spent the Thanksgiving holiday with, you could see that in every member of that family. They are all leaders in the community. They're leaders in their church. And it's not just a thing of being a part of a church just for the sake of saying it's a social issue. The Spirit of Jesus is so very evident in their lives. And it was a privilege to see that. And thanks was very much evident this Thanksgiving in my life is viewing that particular family. Well, friends, got plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Open lines right now. Plenty of time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. Bob and Richard, we have talked a number of times about the fact that we have a church service on Sunday mornings here at our ministry. It's called Metro Bible Fellowship. And we have a lot of folks who join us online. We call it kind of jammy church, I guess is what we call it. Had a question from Donald, who lives in Carrier, Mississippi, and I hope you appreciate the fact that I looked that up and pronounced it correctly, the French pronunciation. So anyway, he says, Bob, this is on my heart. The question is, am I forsaking the assembly of church if I watch the service that you all do on Sundays with my family and don't go to a church service? I've always felt it was okay, but at other times, I just wonder. That's a great question from Donald in Mississippi.
Well, it's certainly okay to plug in and watch our video stream. There's others you may watch as well. I mean, television, a lot of folks watch church services on television. But that shouldn't be a substitute for real interaction with flesh and blood believers. We're a part of a body. We're not to function in isolation. God didn't save us and then just leave us by ourselves. He came to live inside of us, and then he joined us to the body of Christ. So we belong. We have these relationships, these connections with other believers, whether we know it or not. They're there. They exist. And for us to fully see Christ, to see the fullness of Christ, we're going to see that in community. We can't see it in isolation. We can't see it just individually. Certainly we can know and sense his presence and understand his love and all of those sort of things. But to get the full picture of Christ, that means that we need to be involved with other believers. So I think it's important for us to connect. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be a member of a certain church and go to a church building
Sure.
on Sunday and all of that sort of thing. It just simply means connect with other believers in your community. That could be in a small group Bible study. That could be just over lunch with three or four other believers. But there's something deep within your heart, something deep within your soul that longs for that type of fellowship, that longs for that type of community with other believers. And I think it's there because God has put it there. And so I think it's important that we actually connect with other believers sometime during the week. Like I said, it doesn't have to be in a formal setting. The early church met in homes. They met under trees. They met wherever they could.
No.
They certainly did not want to broadcast a big building so the Romans could come in and clean house. Yeah, where they could be easy prey for the persecutors of the day. But they met together. They oftentimes met daily, and they prayed together. They read the Word of God together. And in that, there was something that happened. They gained a deeper understanding of Christ and the fullness of Christ, and they grew up together in him. And I think that's so important. We get that question quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, how can I find a church? And they're usually asking it, you know, how can I find a denomination or find a particular formal church that's going to meet all of my needs? Well, the church isn't going to meet all your needs.
No.
You're a part of it already. So just find like-minded believers and have fellowship there.
Yeah, that's the prayer you should pray. Lord, introduce me to people with whom I can fellowship regarding you. You might be shocked and amazed at the kind of people who are looking for exactly what you're looking for, and it's not in any of the formal outlets of religion. And they're not bad, because you can find that there too, but that one-time lunch with someone, life-changing.
Yeah.
But let God take you there.
Absolutely. Donald, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you and anyone else who might have that question. Right now, plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you. If you've got a question, give us a call. If you have some life issue you'd like to discuss, we're here to do that too. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Guys, a question from Phil concerning Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, a very popular question on this particular broadcast. He says, my understanding of this particular passage, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, goes like this. Understanding the new covenant and the fact that the sin issue has been settled, if I were for some reason to decide to leave the new covenant and early Hebrew under persecution, for example, to go back into a system that teaches repentance, wouldn't make sense. In fact, I bet none of you, knowing what you do about the sin issue, could return to a church that teaches repentance is necessary for forgiveness. For me, it would be impossible. Am I close in my understanding or way off base? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, as far as Hebrews 6 is concerned, and the entire book of Hebrews, it is about the new covenant. Mm-hmm. And it's making the case that this new covenant is far superior to the old. It's far superior. It replaces the old is done away with so that we could experience life in the new. So it's not something where you can just kind of go in and out of the new covenant. You're in the new covenant if you're saved. As Paul said, the old covenant killed, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's why he was a minister of the new covenant, because it's a covenant of life. So once you've been made alive, you're a new covenant believer. Whether you know that or not, it's still true. You are a new covenant believer. All of the promises of the new covenant apply to you. You belong to God. Your sins have been forgiven. You know the Lord. You have a personal relationship with the Lord. You have his laws written on your heart. You know it's an internal change that has taken place inside of you just as a result of God's Spirit coming to abide there. So if you've been saved, you've been made alive, you are a new covenant believer. So you can't leave that and go back to an old system. That's an impossibility. So who in the world is the writer of Hebrews talking to in that great warning passage in Hebrews 6? And the answer to that is this. He is talking to folks who have heard the message of Christ. They've heard about the sacrifice that he made and how it was sufficient to take away sin once and for all, to do away with the old sacrificial system. They had heard all of those things, but they had never truly embraced it by faith. So they were still at arm's distance from it. And finally, at a point in time, they said, to heck with this Jesus guy, to heck with this new covenant. I'm going back to my old way of life. As a matter of fact, this Jesus is an insult to Judaism. Jesus is an insult to the law. Jesus is an insult to the sacrificial system. And they reject it, reject this gospel, reject the new covenant message just wholeheartedly. And in that state of just sheer rebellion against the gospel, the writer writes this: it's impossible to be renewed again unto repentance. They had been brought to that point of repentance. And when he talks about repentance in the book of Hebrews, it's not for sin. Repent of this sin. Promise not to do it anymore. It's a 180. It's going from unbelief in Jesus to belief in Jesus. It's going from a trust and reliance upon the blood of bulls and goats to a once-for-all reliance upon the blood of Jesus. That's what repentance is. It's a total change of mind, a total change of heart, a total change of belief system. It is truly a 180, where you were going in one direction in your heart and mind, and you were stopped just dead in your tracks, and you turned around and started going in the other direction with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So those who rebel, that's who this passage is directed toward, not to the saved, but to the lost and to those who are in sheer rebellion against this gospel message, this new covenant that's available in Christ.
Bill, hope you're listening and hope that's been a help to you. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time, friends. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us as always. 1-800-677-9377, toll-free across the country and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Bob had a question from Diane, who had to get off the line, but her question is, if you're not part of a formal church setting, where do you give to support the Basic Gospel message?
That's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And we always, wonder. We attach everything to that local church, mm-hmm. As if that's the only thing. Just that local meeting together with a pastor up in the pulpit and elders or deacons in a building and all of those sort of things. And that's the only place that we can give. But that's not what the Word of God has to say. Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he was basically saying, I want you to gather up an offering to help the needs of the saints in Jerusalem. be like those in Macedonia who urged me for the opportunity and privilege to share of their resources. Though they were poor, they gave generously to meet the needs of others. Well, it wasn't, those gifts weren't going to a local assembly. They were going to help believers elsewhere, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And Paul was going to gather those gifts and take those gifts with him to the saints in Jerusalem. So there are many places that we can give, and, you know, to fund ministries like ours, that's a place that you can give. If there's a ministry that you trust and are really encouraged by the teaching of that ministry, give to support that ministry. If there are people just right around you who are in need, give to meet the needs of those people. And certainly if you're involved in a local church, give there. But wherever you're being fed, wherever you see needs that you can help and that you want to help meet, that's where you give of your resources. We try to make a formula out of it. We try to make it too complicated. Just let the Spirit lead you in giving. And I think when you give, you will reap an incredible reward, not financial, not anything like that, but a reward of joy, just knowing you're helping somebody specifically.
Yeah.
Now, this is one of those areas where if we pay attention to the way we ask the question, we may discover something about what God is trying to teach us. And whenever I ask, what should I be doing? That's a focus on me, and it's a focus on external works that might be nice works, but it's me doing those works. What should I be doing? As opposed to saying, well, Lord, I've got all these options. What would you have me do? You know, and to walk by faith in what's revealed to you, where to give or, you know, any of a thousand other activities that we can be involved in. But we've got to learn to stop asking the should question, the behavioral, legalistic question, and start asking the faith question is, well, Lord, where would you have me go?
Be led by the Spirit, yeah. And you won't have to worry about it.
Absolutely not.
Well, friends, we hope that the Spirit will lead you to store.basicgospel.net. Now through December 8th, you're going to find a 30% discount on all Basic Gospel products. And to view them all, just visit store.basicgospel.net. Again, store.basicgospel.net to take advantage of this huge discount on all of the products produced by this ministry. Just in time for Christmas giving, a 30% discount off of all products through December 8th. And while you're there, don't forget also that this ministry is listener-supported. We need your ongoing support to be able to bring the Basic Gospel onto the airwaves every day. Your support is absolutely vital. So while you're there at basicgospel.net, consider making a generous gift to help us keep the good news coming.
Yes, indeed. And we certainly need a strong financial push here in December to close our books and to be able to open up 2014 on a positive note and yes, reach more listeners with this good news of Jesus Christ. So help us generously at this time. We certainly need your support. And your support is truly an investment in the power of God to change lives. We're not asking you to support us or this ministry necessarily. We're asking you to support the work God is doing through this outreach in the lives of people all around the world. That's right. An investment worth making.
So take advantage of the 30% off of all of the products produced by this ministry and the opportunity at basicgospel.net to make a generous donation during this particular time. We would love to hear from you today, if possible. Well, guys, Bill in Utica, New York wrote that, I've heard talk about the old Jewish sacrificial system, about the Catholics going to confession and the evangelicals confessing sin to God. I believe that Jesus died for me and my sins and paid the penalty, but I don't believe in sinless perfection. I still fall into sin many times, and when I do, I confess it to God, as it says to do in 1 John 1:9. But I thought I heard that this verse wasn't translated or being interpreted correctly, as we never have to confess our recent sins to God ever. Did I hear that right, or did I misunderstand?
Well, that is a good question, and it really gets down to, you know, what you were just talking about, Richard. What should I do? You know, we ask the question, okay, what should I do when I sin? And we come up with a formula. Here's what you should do when you sin. We keep it in a general sense. We don't get specific with the sin itself. So we come up with this general general formula. You confess it, you repent of it, you ask God to forgive it, then you move on. So you do that. But there's nothing in the Bible that supports that formula. There's nothing in the Bible that supports that type of response when you sin. Let God, you know, work with you in that particular situation. I think a better question to ask is, what does God do when we sin? And if we'll figure out what God does when we sin, we're going to be okay. We really, really are. He's already done something with sin, and that's through the death of Jesus Christ. His blood took away our sin once and for all. And when we come to him by faith, we receive the total package of forgiveness that his blood provided. We receive forgiveness of sins. And so we can say our sins have been forgiven. If you've just committed a sin, that sin has been forgiven on account of Jesus' name. His blood took it away once and for all. So we know he's already done something with sin back in the past, 2,000 years ago. But what does God do when we sin today? Well, when we sin, we have these feelings of guilt. We have this sense that God may be a million miles away, that there's some form of punishment coming to us. Well, God is going to assure our hearts that the sin issue has been dealt with, that punishment went upon Jesus. The punishment that you deserve, justly deserve, went upon Jesus 2,000 years ago, and there's no more punishment for you. His Spirit is going to work inside of you to confirm to your heart that you are truly a child of God. You belong, because you have an accuser that's going to come and say, how can you call yourself a Christian? So it's going to take the power of God's Spirit to overcome those accusations. And so we trust and rely on God's Spirit to assure our hearts. And then we get to see that sin in the light of grace. We get to see the consequences of that in the lives of other people. And sin, when you look at it in terms of grace and through the lens of grace, you realize that it's the opposite of love. Love never harms another person. Love always builds up. Love always edifies. Our sins do the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. And so you realize that, wow, I've done something that's probably hurt another individual. Lord, lead me back to that individual so I can make that right with them. I can say I'm sorry to them, and I can love them again through your Spirit, through your grace, through your mercy, through your life. That's what God does inside of us. And if we'll just respond, we won't have to worry again what we should be doing. God will lead us in exactly the way we should go.
Absolutely. Well, we want to say thanks to everyone who participated in this particular broadcast. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for those who sent us an email to pose a question. And a reminder that if you can't get to the phone during the time that the program is actually on the air live, why, do drop us an email. You'll find a prominent link on our homepage at basicgospel.net. We would love to be able to address your question on a later edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me, Bob Davis. So again, basicgospel.net, and use that email link if you can't get to the phone when we're on the air live. I want to remind you again that now through December 8th, you'll receive a 30% discount on all Basic Gospel products. That's right. All products produced by this ministry, Basic Gospel, are marked down 30% through December 8th. To view them all, visit store.basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net to take advantage of this huge discount on all the products produced by Basic Gospel, just in time for Christmas giving. That's 30% off between now and December 8th. Visit store.basicgospel.net and see how you can bless someone this Christmas season. Just use promo code THANKS when you do that. Again, simply the word THANKS in the promo code box. While you're shopping, remember that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. So while there, please help us with a generous gift to keep the good news coming. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. While you're online, be sure to join our email list. Click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. You'll get all the late news about the ministry and upcoming events. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Till tomorrow at the same time, for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.